This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the wonderfully gorgeous Linda Cloak.
Thank you.
That's all right. I'm getting all previous here, trying to sort out what's going on. There's tweets still coming in, but they're coming in at all angles now, as they say. Let's see what we got here. West Kent Mine. We've already read a big thing out about that. So Jules is off on one again. Lovely folks at Burton Solicitors have tweeted. Which is great, but there was something. Here it is. This is what I was looking for. Kim Stevens of Care in Kent. She says, "I'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker, please. Do you know someone that loves helping others, has a passion for the welfare of others? Would they make a great carer? Maybe caring is their calling. If that's you, give Amy a call today on Ashford 01233 619530. We look forward to hearing from you, or you can follow them on Twitter. Care in Kent is their Twitter handle."
Sarah Marsh Collins has said, could I get a shout out for Quick Theory? Sorry,
yep. Just done that. Don't worry. Kim Stevens again, please join me in congratulating my manager, Chloe, who won Registered Manager Award. Well done, Chloe. We're all really proud of you. So, yeah, fantastic achievement. Well done, Chloe. Good. Right. I'll tell you what. Shall we talk to our next guest? Do you think that's a thing?
Yeah.
Do you think we should do that?
Yeah.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show Maria Parker. Maria is the principal behind Barton Solicitors. Maria, good afternoon. Welcome to the show.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for the invite.
It's an absolute pleasure, and it's lovely to see you. We like a lawyer here. We've got lots of questions we can see. See, we get freebies. You can pretend you're interviewing someone, and you get free advice. Yeah, that's how we work it. It's really clever, isn't it? Don't you think? Except it doesn't really work like that, does it?
Not quite.
First and foremost, what I'd like you to do, Maria, if you wouldn't mind, is tell us a bit about your business as a business. So, you know, how long it's been going, when you started it, how you started it, that kind of thing.
Okay, so Burton's Solicitors have been going for sort of, over 40 years now, but I'm not the
heart. I'm looking at you quizzically going, nah, don't fib me.
So I kind of took over fully in July 2017, right. And since then have been growing it.
Were you working there at the time?
I bought into it in 2014 and had a 3-year sort of agreement with the sole practitioner who owned the business,
right.
To sort of take over the 3-year period.
So it's kind of like a stage buy-in. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I like it. I like that. I, if you don't mind, I mean, you can tell me my own business, but how did you find that process? Was it completely trauma-free, or, you know, was it a bit of a laugh?
It was quite traumatising, actually. I think if somebody had told me how it was going to be, I might not have done basically. Yeah.
The reason I ask that is I have a fair amount of experience in business myself, and especially in service-based businesses or professional businesses, it's always about a thing called an earn-out normally when you buy or sell a business. And, of course, they very rarely go smoothly, you know, because someone that's owned a business that's giving it up has their own ideas and ways of doing things, and they suddenly have to work with someone that's taking it over and's got their own ways and ideas of doing things. But there's this massive thing that says, you know, it's got to be done this way, otherwise you're not getting your money.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was very much an old school type of practice, and a lot of it, lots and lots and lots of paper and files everywhere, just as you kind of imagine the old school
dust.
Yeah, it was very much like that.
Yeah.
And then I kind of knew that I had a big mountain to climb to turn the business around and make it sort of 20th century even. So it was hard going,
I'm sure, you know. And in a professional practice, of course, as well, normally you're not just managing the business, are you? You're actually doing the business too.
That's right. Yeah. So very early days, you know, it was that I was sort of seeing clients during the day and actually working in the evenings to do the work.
Right.
So it was it was hardcore.
Yeah.
Maria said she even has, you know, emptied the bins and cleaned the loos when it's been called for in the past.
I'm not asking Maria to call. I just, over the last few days, I've had a few set tos with people on social media since the announcement of the ending of the 45% tax band. You know, loads of lefties on Twitter come on, but business owners are scum, they don't do anything, it's all free money. And you think, you have no idea at all.
No.
Yeah, well, if it wasn't for the workers, you wouldn't make any money. But, you know, it's a partnership, isn't it? And, you know, it's the workforce and the owners of a business or the creators of a business work together. It's not one against the other. But so many people that have never run a business think it's easy.
Yeah, I agree. You do find that an awful lot. And they don't realise. I mean, funnily enough, I was disappointed that they didn't put anything for businesses, small businesses, for corporation tax, because we want to invest back in our business, but we can't because we're taxed straight away. So we're putting by for the tax. That's what you've got to put by for.
Yeah, absolutely.
They hit you from every angle.
I had a bizarre 2 days talking about exactly that
kind of
thing on Twitter. The amount of people that talk through their backside about things, but they talk so confidently as if they really knew, and they go, "Oh, you know, you need to speak to an accountant, mate. You don't know what you're talking about." And I think I do. I've been in business 30 years. I think I do, and I've got some really top accountants that work for me. I think I do know what I'm talking about.
The funny thing is, a lot of people, I suppose, that are in work or have a job, haven't actually been maybe self-employed.
Mm.
So whereas people have been self-employed, have been in a job.
Yeah.
So you've seen it from both sides.
Yeah.
We need
to talk to Maria rather than worry about the problems that you and I have had, but we're empathising with Maria, you know, in line with what Gemma's told us to do. Yeah, we've spotted some stress that she suffered, and we're trying to empathise with her. But of course, she's worked her way through that now, because it was ages ago. it was back in 2017. Yeah. she's not looking sure, is she? The stress is over.
You just need to give her a voice to be able to
say.
It's just a different type of stress.
Of course it is, yeah.
You're just fast moving.
Yeah, absolutely. You make a very valid point there, Maria. You know, the pace of change nowadays, especially with technology, is just frightening, isn't it?
Most definitely.
Yeah.
And that was the starting point for me, was to get the technology in place to sustain the growth in the business, because we wouldn't have been able to manage, you know, filling in pieces of paper and having lots of paper files everywhere.
I was telling Linda off air earlier on, I've been talking to a professional service firm. They've been around a long time. They don't even have a website, and they don't intend to have a website. Yeah.
Interesting.
And we're going to do Making Tax Digital soon. I wonder how you're going to cope with that when you don't really want to get involved in anything technical.
They're going to have to.
But it staggers me, you know, that I read a report once. We are going to talk to Maria in a minute, I swear. I'm going to shut up in a minute. I read a report about 2 years ago that said small businesses, 70% of small businesses still do not have a digital presence.
Yeah, well, I know that, because obviously I'm in social media.
Yeah, exactly. and you think, wow, absolutely wow. Anyway, let's go back to talking to Maria about Burton's Solicitors. So you acquired the business in 2017, and you've put it into the 21st century.
So we kind of started off with myself and probably two others, and then have now sort of grown to sort of 35.
So how many?
35.
Wow. Okay.
We've also got four offices now. So we are based, the head office is in Pembury. That's where it was, Tunbridge Wells. Mm. And we kind of expanded over to Walderslade, which is Medway, and also Sidcup now, and Howsham, which is East Sussex Way.
Right,
so we've got a nice sort of catchment area.
Okay.
And I've got a fantastic team behind me. And, you know, you touched on kind of management. I've always said to my team that we're all, it's like having a jigsaw puzzle and we're all a piece of that jigsaw puzzle. Sure. And without them, it wouldn't work. Mm. We're all just as important as each other. So sure. It's great to have them all on board.
Absolutely. I lost count now. You've got four offices.
Yes.
Yeah, four. Fantastic.
So I've met quite a few of Maria's staff because we network together, and you can tell they're part of the team because of the way they work, you know, with clients. So I've been a client and also been networking with them, and they're definitely all part of the team. And
I thought you were going to say they all had Burton's polo shirts.
There might be some ties around.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move on now and talk about what the business actually does. You're obviously solicitors.
Yes, we are.
So tell us about the range of services that you offer.
Yes, we offer a range of services. We will do do lots of residential conveyancing. Mm. We'll also do commercial property and commercial law. We also do lots of family and wills and probates and trusts and powers of attorney that we deal with. I think what we don't deal with is immigration and criminal law, essentially.
Oh, don't blame you. Right, there's loads to get my teeth into there.
Yeah, there is.
Yeah. Powers of attorney. Oh.
Well, particularly for business owners, they're very, very important to have.
My poor mum's 93.
Oh, bless
She's
her.
Not very well. A couple of years ago, we had a power of attorney for both her health care and her financial stuff. The amount of people that ignore that is unbelievable. I'm not sure. I'm not trying to pick your brain with this at the moment. I'm just making the point that it can be quite difficult sometimes to try to get people to understand what it means even. So just give us a quick overview of what a power of attorney actually is.
So basically, you're authorising somebody to do what you would do with your finances, essentially, if it's a finance one. So you do need to choose your attorneys very wisely, because they will have a free rein, basically, on your finances.
Yeah.
But it also, if somebody does go into care, you're able to sort of pick up and pay for things for them and just take control of all finances for them.
It's interesting. You don't have to comment on this if you don't want to. When we first did a financial power of attorney for my mum, I won't tell you the law firm we used, but they produced a power of attorney, which I sent to the bank, and the bank implemented it. And while I was talking to them, I said, right, I need access to my mum's bank account. And they went, no, you can't have that. Why? And they went, your power of attorney doesn't allow that. Hold on. What are you talking about? And they said, yeah, no, have you not read it? Which I hadn't. It gave me power of attorney if she was diagnosed as being mentally incapable.
Oh, no.
So it may be that she had an enduring power of attorney, which were the old types of attorneyships, I guess. Yeah. And they had to be registered. So she had to have lost capacity for it to be registered and for you to be able to use it. Whereas the newer lasting powers of attorney can be registered immediately and then they'd be ready for use. You know,
absolutely, because it makes sense. Because you can't sit there looking at your mum going, when are you going to, if you go to Lally, I'm straight in there like a rat up a drain pipe and I'm paying you. Yeah. So are you all right? You know, it doesn't work, does it?
No. And by that time, it's a bit late. What you'd be looking for is a deputyship application.
Exactly.
So you're going to the court for that one.
Okay. Just to kind of fill it up some more, so you can get a lasting power of attorney financially.
Yes.
And a lasting power of attorney for health.
Yes.
I know that because I've got both. Is there anything else that you can do like that?
In what respect?
I just wondered if there was anything else you cover with a power of attorney.
We would advise really that you have more than one attorney just in case something were to happen to that attorney.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. How many? Because my mum's got me, my two sisters, and my brother-in-law's is four, which I thought was a bit many.
It's That's okay. Four. I mean, I try to advise three. So there's one with a deciding vote.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So there's no stalemate there.
Okay.
Yeah. If there's three.
Okay, so thinking about small businesses and the kind of things that affect them and the kind of things that you guys do, have you got any thoughts on, if I said to you, what would you advise a small business owner to think about legally in terms of protecting themselves going forward, are there two or three things that you would advise them to do or get?
Well, definitely a power of attorney, a lasting yeah. power of attorney for finances. I mean, it could be that, you know, you're self-employed, or you've got a small business, you're a sole trader, but you've got a couple of staff. You've got to think about how the business is going to continue if something happened to you, how the your employee is going to get paid, and, you know, who's going to manage the bank. And so you really do need to think about that seriously.
Mm.
Obviously, to get a will in place as well, if anything were to happen to you, that, you know, that's thought about as well. And you could have a different executor that deals with the business if a family member is unable to. You could have a specific professional to actually deal with, you know, your business side of your assets, basically, or something like that.
Right.
That's how often should you redo your will?
You should... I mean, I always say relook at it once a year, or if something's happened in your life. So if somebody close to you has died, and that's always a trigger to go and review your wills. Also, if you've married, so if you've remarried, that would invalidate your will. So you need to, you know, get a new will in place. You know, you might have some grandchildren that have come along. We often quite get where you want to kind of leave some children out as well. So, so any trigger point in your life is always a good time to review your wills and powers of attorney.
Okay. I mean, wills are an interesting thing, aren't they? Because you can, and tell me if I'm right or wrong, I mean, I'm just gabbling here. You can write a will to encompass something that hasn't happened yet. So, for instance, if you wanted to leave some of your estate to future grandchildren, for instance, that you don't currently have,
Potentially, yes.
You can write a will that says, to my grandchildren.
Well, you could write a will to some, maybe your child, and if they were to have any children, then it would go to them, basically.
Yeah, sure.
We try to word it in general terms so that it would kind of follow a bloodline, so you don't actually specifically name
the individuals. Yes. Yeah, okay, yeah. I understand.
What about trust? Because isn't a trust a good way to go if you want it to go down to the family?
Potentially, again, it just depends on circumstances, and they're very specific and individual circumstances.
Just give us an overview of what a trust is.
A trust is a...
I keep asking you these questions, and I can see your face going, no, Paul, it's not that simple. It really isn't.
No, it is. I'm just trying to find the word in as simple as possible.
Yeah, yeah.
So it could be, I would say, it's like a bubble that you put something into it that is is ring fencing something that you want to protect.
Right, okay.
Maybe in simple terms.
Okay, so if you establish a trust and you put some assets in it,
yes.
Basically, then the terms of that trust will talk about the disposal of either the income from those assets or the asset itself?
Yep, it can do both.
Right, okay.
If you want it to. And you can have trust, you can create the trust in your lifetime, or you can create it within your will.
Right, okay. Oh, that's interesting.
But there are tax consequences, of course. But that's a conversation for yeah. another day.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, you don't want to talk about taxes.
No, it's probably a bit too hot to handle at the moment.
Well,
isn't
we're still trying to come to terms with what's happened, isn't it? Because I mean, you guys are property lawyers as well, and I'm sure that if I said to you, "All right, they've changed stamp duty," you go, "No, I don't want to talk about that at the moment. We don't know what's going on with that yet."
I think every conveyancer in England probably doesn't want to know about that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're just holding on in there, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. It is, you know, and this is just my point of view, you know, the tax and regulation system in this country gets more complicated by the minute. And it's incredibly difficult to stay on top. I'd hate to be a lawyer or an accountant. I really would. How you stay on top of the legislation so that when somebody comes to you and goes X, Y, or Z, you actually know the answer. You can't possibly, can you? You've got a little book you can look it up in.
No, I think, as I said, each case is individual, and we would work closely with accountants as well.
Yeah.
So that they'll get holistic advice for that situation.
Yeah. Okay. Are you any good with deeds of easement?
I'm sure one of the conveyancers will be able to help you.
Do you know what it is?
Yes.
Do you? Good, I don't. That's the reason I asked you. I'm trying to get a freebie here. I've got someone that wants me to sign a deed of easement, and I'm going, I don't even know what that is.
We can take a look at it for
you. Could
you?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you. Right, sold.
What about family law, Maria?
Yes, we do family law, as you know, because we've discussed that in the past as well. Yep.
Yeah, it's you know, I'm thinking of most of the things you're talking about from a small business point of view. I know that you do domestic conveyancing and, you know, domestic law and stuff like that. Most of our listeners are business owners. Obviously, they have homes and partners and all the rest of it.
Family comes into it when you're talking about business.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly my point. So, you know, it's where this crossover comes, where you've got a business and a family, and you know.
We're also, our family lawyer is a member of Resolution as well.
Right.
So we kind of have to follow a code of conduct, and we try and keep any split, basically separation, as amiable as possible. That's what we look to do.
Sure. I mean, and those kind of splits can be in domestic arrangements, they can be in business arrangements. In some cases both.
Yeah. Business is slightly different, but it's not family as such.
Sure.
But there are people that have, you know, been living together for 20, 30 years or whatever it is, and the kids, and obviously the kids is the priority.
So when you say living together, do you mean unmarried? So they're just in a common law partnership or whatever it is. As far as I'm aware, there's not a lot of
That's right.
That's amazing, isn't it? Because a lot of people make that choice now.
Yeah.
And they choose not to marry. There's less. It's going down and down. Again, on my radio show, we looked at the figures and the amount of people who got married in the 50s, and it's literally been going down every decade.
Yeah. It's interesting. You know, just lightening it up a bit, but also talking about this. I've been having conversations with people in their 20s and 30s about the housing market, and a lot of young people are very angry with oldies like me, and they're going, it's all right for you boomers, when you were a kid you could buy a house with your pocket money, and stuff like that. As I pointed out to someone, there is some truism in what you're saying. You know, the rate of inflation on house prices is beyond stupid now. It's beyond stupid in the southeast of England. And you've got to bear that in mind. If you go anywhere outside the southeast of England, house prices are nothing like they are down here. Yeah.
But they're going up.
They are. All house prices in the UK go up. They all go up. You're absolutely right. But when you're talking to someone that's trying to buy a one-bedroom flat in London and they're looking at £500,000-£600,000, you could buy a four-bedroom detached house in the north of England for half that price. And I know you can, because I've been looking. but my point also was, coming back to your point, Linda, that in my generation, very few people bought a house on their own.
Yeah, that's true.
Most of us bought it as a couple.
Yeah, we did.
It's true.
Yeah, the vast majority.
And then we got divorced and lost it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So we're in the same boat as you guys.
Yeah. But you know, it was a two salary thing as well. Yeah, yes. Which, you know, anyway. But I don't think that happens so much now. I think more and more people buy houses, one, because they want to buy them on their own, and two, because of the divorce rate and the split rate, you get loads of people, you know, single-parent families or, you know, individuals living on their own, and then older people that are still living on their own, you know, with a property. And, of course, that brings us right back to stamp duty. A lot of older people don't want to sell their property and downsize because of the cost of doing it. Which is a bit bonkers. Yeah. Okay. So, from your point of view, Maria, as a solicitor, looking at the things that you look at, what are the main... We need some juicy stuff now. That's why we're after juicy stuff now. We want some inside stories. What are the kind of things that you deal with most, do you think?
Quite a lot of things, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure you do.
I would say anyone sort of looking to, you know, get a will and do it themselves from WH Smiths or whatever, just don't do it.
It doesn't work.
For a couple of hundred quid, it's really worth getting it done professionally.
Yeah.
Because you think it's a simple thing, but just some odd wording that you think fits actually can be interpreted in lots of different ways, and it can cause issues. And I think my litigation team would say to everyone, go write your own wills, because, you know, it creates
lots of work for them.
Definitely. Yeah.
It's back to what I was saying, though, isn't it? On the face of it, things look simple.
Yeah,
you get a form, you go, I'll fill that in. But you don't understand the regulations. You don't, you know, and people forget things. That parked over there, well, that's got nothing to do with it. Oh, yes, it has. Because you haven't thought about it. Yeah. Life is so complex at the moment. It is really unbelievable.
It really is. Yeah. And there are lots of people now with, they're on their second, third, maybe even fourth marriage, and there's kids everywhere.
The other thing, though, is, you know, going back, mentioning the C word, which is COVID, is that that's impacted so many people. I mean, I've had to change my will because of that.
Right.
So, the way
I... Because of COVID?
Yeah, because the way I split my will, I'd left Click to one of my children,
right,
who was working with me. Well, Click is no more.
Right.
So bless her heart, she got nothing.
Right.
So therefore,
but
you know,
she thought she did.
So, you know, a lot of people that lost their businesses, I mean, a lot of publicans restaurants, you know, they lost their businesses during that time. So they've got to rethink, you know, how they're gonna do it.
Well, the other one that is very sort of contentious is, leaving your house to somebody in your will. And the problem is if by the time you've died, your house has been sold and it's a different house, and actually that person that you thought was going to get the bulk of your estate doesn't get anything.
Right.
So, you know, there's important wording for leaving property.
Yeah, so you don't say, I'm leaving you 10 Acacia Avenue. You go, I'm leaving my estate to you.
But you need
But you're absolutely right. And that's entirely the point, isn't it? That a lot of people come along with these easy answers to things, but they're not easy. They're really not easy, not if you want to get it right. What happens in the case? I'm just thinking. I've got a Lulu for you here, Maria. I'm really milking this. Yeah, just thinking about what Linda was saying. What if you left a business that had a problem? Let's take a theoretical example. Let's say Linda had a business that had run up a load of debts. Yeah, she then goes and without thinking about anybody else, pops her clogs. Yeah, that's because that's typical of the kind of thing she would do. Yeah, yeah, she pops her clogs and she's left poor Elle, and she's got, you've inherited my company, and it's got £200,000 worth of debts. Here you go.
I'd disclaim it.
I was going to say, is there a route where you can go, I don't want that.
Yeah. Elle's pretty clued up.
Yeah. I'm not having that.
That wouldn't happen with her.
so is, but but realistically, can you disclaim.
You don't need or want, you can disclaim. But what that means, it just goes back and it follows a statutory list of priority of people, or you can do a deed of variation and you can sort of vary a will if you don't particularly need or want an asset.
Right.
And people do that to skip generations because, you know, again, it's for potentially for tax purposes, it will bulk up your estate. And if you've got enough anyway and you don't want the hassle, you can pass it on to those grandchildren.
I don't want a debt, you can have it. Nice one. Okay. And it's interesting, though, isn't it? Because we don't think about things like that. When you think about inheritance, you always think of some sunny upland where one day you suddenly get a load of money coming, you know, because granny or, you know, great uncle died and left you some money. But of course, they could leave you a whole heap of rubbish as well, couldn't they?
There's been some really strange things in wills, hasn't there? I mean, you know, Michael Jackson, for example. I mean, he left
his monkey to someone.
He did, and there's the richest dog in the world is Gunthrie or something, and he's worth like so many millions of pounds because his owner left the money to someone to. Because they've got to leave it to someone because they can't leave it to a pet.
Yeah,
so they've got to leave someone it to someone
to look after the dog. Absolutely. Have you? What's the funniest thing you've been asked? Can you think of anything? No, you can't do that, really, can you?
I can't do that.
Damn. I want some inside.
Someone got buried with their car as well, didn't they? A beautiful 1960s car. And
they got buried with it.
They wanted to be buried with their car, and it would be worth millions now. Yeah. This car.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beautiful blue sports car.
Oh, blimey.
So you learn all these things when you do some on social media.
Okay. Right, let's talk just final few minutes, Marina, about commercial property. I'm interested in your views on this. Again, the pandemic, the lockdown, has had an effect, I believe, on the commercial office space market. We were already suffering with retail and high streets with lots of empty properties, with a wholesale move out of offices into working from home. I think that's had an effect, and personally it's affected me. I have a big office in Maidstone, and following on the pandemic we sent everybody to work at home, but I've still got 3 years left on a 20-year lease on a building of 6,000 square feet with two people in it. Ouch, this hurts. There's nothing you can do about that.
Depends on the lease, the clauses within it, whether there's any clauses.
I've tried. So it's not that per se, but my point, and I want your view on this, is that a lot of people now, I feel, have been burnt like that. So if they are taking office space, they're doing it on much shorter leases?
Potentially,
yeah.
I do think people are going back into offices now as well. And there's a bit of a hybrid type of working.
Well, of course, what's happened to solve that problem is, of course, we've now got fuel bills, and everybody working at home is going, hold on a minute, I can't afford the gas and electricity. I'm going to use the office's gas and electricity. So here we go, back to the office.
And well-being, of course.
Yeah, well-being. Yeah, exactly. Gemma, yeah.
And yes, Gemma, to be honest, you know, it has been a worry the last couple of years because, you have staff at home and you can't see them and sometimes you just can't get hold of them either and you're worried. You don't know where they are and
it's how, not they are or
how they are or, you know, it's been very, very tricky.
Mm. Absolutely. So you're offering a range of services from Burton Solicitors. If people want to find out getting some help and they can't interview you on the radio, what's the best way to contact you?
Our website provides all our contact details. The website is www.burtons-solicitors.com. Phone number, you can contact the main number, which is 01892 824 577. That's sort of the main switchboard number, and you can be put through to anyone,
to whoever you need to speak to.
And obviously social media sites, contact us on that as well.
Fantastic. Maria, it's been a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Paul and Linda.
Stay with us for the remaining few minutes of the show. But for the moment, Maria Parker of Burton Solicitors, thank you. Right. We've still got stuff coming in, which is lovely. Talking of professional firms, Beresford's, the accounting firm, have been on. Hi, Paul and team. Great show. Our Ashford team are listening live from our new Ashford office today. We'd love a shout-out, please. We're over on Cobswood House. Wow, that's fantastic. So thanks for listening. I hope you're enjoying the show, which you say you are. And welcome to your new office. And I hope you enjoy. Blimey. Oh, apparently... Twitter don't like any of this now. My rate limit exceeded. I've had too many tweets and now I can't read anymore. Seriously. Thank you, Twitter, you idiots. Yeah.
They did that to you last week as well, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah. Yeah, it's Twitter for you. Okie doke. What you got, Linda?
Okay. Well, I'm going to read out some of these so that we don't miss them. So
yeah. Check the dates first, though.
I have 4th of October. Southeast Networking. In the first week of every month, we bring you free to attend virtual networking for businesses in and around the south of England. This is your opportunity to meet with other entrepreneurs, self-employed people and small business owners to continue to network, collaborate and support each other. Tuesday, 4th of October, 12 until 1 p.m. Kent Business Radio.co.uk. And of course, we do social media on the first Wednesday of every month, which is next week. Hold our content creation and planning session at Edenwood Place, and that takes place at 5 o'clock. You come in and plan your social media, and you leave with all your social media done for the month. So, for anyone who does their own socials, it's a great little thing to join up for.
Fantastic. Right, a new parklet has been unveiled by Sevenoaks Town Mayor, thanks to Warner Solicitors, which has dedicated the 25th anniversary of its Sevenoaks residency to the local community. Partnering with Sevenoaks Town Centre, Warner's has donated towards the installation of two of these new wellbeing-inspired green spaces. The parklet's sustainable design combines seating and planters to enhance the look and the community feel of the town centre, in addition to providing a spot for passers-by to relax and socialise. That's very nice, isn't it? The mayor officially opened the first parklet. I keep saying parklet as if it's a pikelet, which is a small crumpet, isn't it? But a parklet is actually a small park. Did you not know that, a parklet? A parklet's a small crumpet, isn't it, Gemma? I'm not lying, am I? No.
What language is that, then?
It's in English, but it's not a pikelet, it's a parklet.
Okay.
The mayor of... Sorry, I'll do this properly. Sorry, folks. The mayor officially opened the first parklet for public use at a ribbon-cutting ceremony on the 20th of September. Hosted by Warner Solicitors and Sevenoaks Town Council, the parklets are part of a wider programme to improve the appearance and ambience of the town centre, which is funded by the Town Council with help from the local authorities and from businesses. Projects like these have helped Sevenoaks receive the title of Best Palace to Live in the South East in 2022 by The Times and join the shortlist for the RHS Britain in Bloom 2022 National Finals Competition. So that's fantastic, isn't it? That's a parklet or two.
Or a pikelet.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, so breakfast, yum yum. Are you joining us for breakfast at the Ship Inn? The next meeting is just over a week away. Well, it's not a week away. This is last week's one. It's actually on Thursday, the 29th of September. To ensure your place, go to marshnetwork.co.uk. Tickets are going fast, so book early. Join us for a relaxed style, professional networking for great breakfast, one of the best on the networking circuit. Tell us about your business, support and leads you're looking for, and offer support to others. Hear about our upcoming meetings and charity event plans, and please tell others about their meeting and how we offer a great welcome to first timers. See you soon, Terry Botfield.
Fantastic. McBride's have boosted their tax team with a new director appointment. Steve Metcalf joins McBride's Chartered Accountants in Sidcup as a private client tax director with 24 years experience gained from working in Kent and the city, mostly at Blick Rothenberg. Boosting the tax team with Steve's appointment, McBride's tax partner, Massim Ahmed, said, "We're delighted to welcome Steve to McBride's. He brings great experience to the team and our clients, having advised high net worth individuals and their families, owners, managers and entrepreneurs and high earning individuals on all aspects of their personal tax affairs. McBride's advises private clients and owner-managed businesses. They have a team of 60 people, including partners and staff, and their headquarters are at the Landmark office in Sidcup, on the South East London and Kent border."
Wow, cool. Mm. Well, Maidstone is going green. So visit the Go Green Information Centre as part of a great big green week. Maidstone Borough Council's Go Green Information Centre is in the Mall, is celebrating Great Big Green Week by hosting a whole week of free activities, talks and events to Sunday the 2nd of October. And it's open to everyone. The council's climate change biodiversity team have taken over an empty unit until the end of September, early October, and are using it to help anyone who may be confused, sceptical or unsure where to start with becoming green and more sustainable. So they've got coming up Go Green Sustainable Business Morning, which is on the 30th of September, Go Veggie by the Vegetarian Society at 11 a.m. on the 1st and 2nd of October.
Fantastic. Thank you for that. Coming up is the Medway Networking with Zoe Cairns on the 3rd of November. So it's a bit away, yeah. 7.30 till 9. It's physical. It's not virtual. It's real. Blimey. And it's at the Joiner's Shop in the historic Dockyard Chatham. It's lovely there. Have you been there? Yeah, it's cool. If you want to find out more, kempbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar. All the details and a booking link can be found there. That's Medway Networking on the 3rd of November.
I've read all mine again now, Paul.
See, she does this to me every week, and there's still 10 minutes to go, which leaves me having to read everything now, doesn't it?
You can pass one to me if you like.
Okay. let me find a long one. Hold on. We have already done this as a shout-out, but you can have that one as well.
Thank you.
And you can have that one as well.
Thank you.
I've got them all going for it now. Talking about networking, there's Kent Virtual Networking on Wednesday the 28th. That's tomorrow, manana, 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. This is a virtual event. Meet other businesses, expand your network at a virtual Kent event hosted by Peter Searle. Again, to find out and book your place, kentbusinessradio.co.uk/calendar.
Oh, that's good. Look at this one. Tenterden Folk Festival, Thursday, 29th of September to Sunday, 2nd of October. Book tickets, campsite, and find all the details at tentertonfolkfestival.org.uk. It's got here as well, the future of 226-year-old Town Centre Jewellers is uncertain after the building it occupies was put up for sale. Oh no, I love this jewellery. It's Cornell and Sons, and it was opened in 1796 and currently operates in Gabriel's Hill, Maidstone. Cornell's an independent jeweller which describes itself as an integral part of a local community. I totally agree. The company says, "We have evolved over the past two centuries to cater to an ever-changing retail jewellery market, working with and supporting a diverse network of suppliers, manufacturers and skilled craftsmen." That would be a travesty.
Absolutely, and I was shocked when I read that. For a business that's been there so long, I just assumed they own the building.
Yes.
But they don't.
No.
And that's amazing that they've been renting it for 300 years.
Yeah, yes.
Isn't it?
Oh, that would be absolutely awful to lose them.
Yeah. Hopefully they're going to hang in, because they had two branches. They had one in Gables Hill, Maidstone, and one in Burgate in Canterbury. And the Burgate shop closed quite a while ago. And that was back their flagship shop, which isn't easy to say. I really do hope they can work it out. But basically, the freehold's been sold, basically, is what's happened. And the new landlords are trying to write a new lease, I believe, is what the issue is.
Yeah.
But I'm staggered a business that old has been renting the same premises for nearly 300 years. I mean, that's just mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is. I mean, the jewellery they sell is absolutely amazing. The building they're in is amazing as well. It's pretty unique, isn't it, with all the steps and everything.
Yeah.
But, you know, to think that they didn't think to buy it when they were like 200 quid or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Amazing. Mind you, I didn't think to buy it years ago. So
yeah.
There you go.
Were you around now in 1786 then?
No, I was.
Right, okay.
Well, it was probably a pound then, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was probably a pound. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
£1.50.
Yeah, and there was no stamp duty.
No, that's right.
Because I hadn't invented stamps then.
Right, let me read this one.
Sorry.
Business in Maidstone has a brand new website, and we have updated our business directory as part of the launch. The new directory makes it easier than ever for people to discover businesses in Maidstone. Why don't I know about this? It is the perfect tool
to find
new partnership opportunities, suppliers and service providers. If you want to be found by other local businesses, you'll definitely want to be listed with us. Here's your easy guide to getting your listing. Create a Business in Maidstone account here Add the business details and create your listing on Join the Directory. The business in Maidstone team will review and approve your listing, which will go live in Maidstone Business Directory. Once the business is listed, it will be visible to anyone searching my name or location. It will also be more general searches, be available for more general searches according to what sector you're in and the related words.
Cool. Nice one. Get yourself registered.
Yeah, we need to.
Yeah. I think if you go to maidstone.gov.uk, you can then navigate to the business sector, which is where you'll find it. So it's on the main Borough Council website, basically, is fantastic. What I'm saying.
Okay.
Are you a standout small business?
Absolutely.
That has achieved constant growth?
Yes.
There are two business award opportunities here. There's Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells.
Oh,
okay. Yeah, and they're the Business Awards 2022 for those two areas. It's free to enter, and the categories are the same in each award. The categories are creative digital, customer service, innovation, startup, small business, businesswoman of the year, family business, construction business. You can find out all about it and enter by going to www.businessawardskent.co.uk.
There's a few we could enter there then.
Yeah, and those two awards, the ceremonies will be a joint ceremony taking place somewhere. I'm saying this because I'm presenting it, yeah? I'm the compere, but I suddenly realised I don't know where it's happening yet. But it's taking place in early December, and it will be a joint awards ceremony for the Maidstone and the Tunbridge Wells Awards.
Oh, nice, okay.
And I imagine it will be somewhere between Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells that it's taking place. Cool. Okay. You've read it all again, haven't you?
Yeah.
Stop reading them so fast. Have we got anything on Twitter?
Oh, sorry, Jules. You're going to catch me out here. I'm not doing my job properly. Let's have a look.
While she's doing that, I'm going to tell you about this. And this is really important and really easy. Yeah. And this is not a scam. Yeah. I've done it myself and I know it works. Poor conflicting biased advice is costing people thousands of pounds in unnecessary and oversized heating equipment. Yeah. And it also costs more to run. So this is primarily talking about gas boilers, domestic gas boilers. Yeah. But the same applies for business gas boilers, but this is mostly domestic gas boilers. Spend your budget wisely on measures that actually save cash and carbon. Yeah. We provide expert and impartial action plans tailored to you. If you go to theheatinghub.co.uk, you can download a free PDF of how to set your boiler up so that you can save between 6 and 10% of your heating costs. Here's a hint. It's the flow control that you're changing. Mm. Not the temperature of the room, the flow control of the boiler. And the PDF that they give away free explains exactly how you can do it with no tools, no specialist knowledge, and no danger of you messing it up. Yeah,
isn't that a man job?
You could say that. I couldn't possibly. But funnily enough, Joanne, who's doing this, isn't a man.
Oh, fantastic.
It's Jo Allsop of the Heating Hub. And it is fantastic advice. Since she launched this advice, telling people, the heating industry has got behind her and said, you're absolutely right, Joe, this is exactly what should be happening. When we had our boilers installed, when gas costs tuppence, yeah, we didn't care. They just slammed the boilers in and went, there you go, off you run. What you need to do is turn the flow control down to 60, basically.
Oh, okay, that's interesting.
But if you go to their website, theheatinghub.co.uk, you can download a free PDF telling you how to do it. Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah.
So I'm actually going to read one of these tweets. The Business Bunker radio show is pleased to partner with Telford's Accountants at Kent_accountant. Telford's Accountants are zero chartered accountants based in Kent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can read more on Business Bunker.
Absolutely. I want to tell you about Potter's Home Digital in Tenterton. Their home entertainment inside and out. Their team of experts install fully integrated smart technology into your garden. Your garden, yeah? Bringing all your much-loved home entertainment systems from the inside to the out. They offer unique audio and lighting solutions, home security and Wi-Fi networks perfectly suited to your garden with meticulous implementation to create an atmosphere and experience like no other. They've got a shop in Tenterton High Street, and in the garden of that shop, they've got a setup of this. And wow, It is
absolutely unbelievable. You go in there and you feel like you're walking into another world, don't
absolutely,
you?
Absolutely, yeah.
That is the way to do your garden.
Yeah, it's they've got a TV, it's like a 72-inch TV, that stays in your garden.
Wow.
Yeah, it's completely waterproof and everything, you know, weatherproof. You can leave it out in the rain.
Think how great it would be for pubs and, you know, people entertainment. Yeah. I mean, that would just be fantastic. If someone had them come in and do their garden, a pub, it'd just be amazing.
Well, what they do with this, they not only do they set the TVs up and stuff like that, they work with a landscape gardener who designs your garden, and then they bury the sound systems and the lighting systems in it as well. It's unbelievable stuff. It really is fabulous. It is.
And the
I want one.
That's outside.
Uh-huh.
The room that's outside, we close the curtains and they've got an outside area there with your own separate like little TV room. It's just really lovely. So we're enjoying the show with at Linda Cloak and Vanilla Webb from Burton Solicitors. Have you ever thought about the reasons you need a will? There are many reasons a will can benefit you and the people around you, which is why if you haven't written one already, you should do so as soon as possible.
It's interesting as well, isn't it? I mean, funnily enough, one of the things that suddenly dawned on me when Maria was talking about this is I wrote a will quite a long time ago, and I haven't really thought about it since. I can't even remember what it says.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, it's not good, is it?
Not at all.
Well, just quickly, I'm sorry to drag you back in, but I just thought of this, and I need your advice. If a will is quite clearly very old and out of date, I mean, is there any way of telling that, or do you just implement it for whatever it says? If you see what I mean.
Well, if the person's still alive, then we would go through it with them and just make sure that it's still...
No, I was just thinking, if I pop my clogs and they went, right, where's his will, and they got it out, and they went, hold on a minute, this was written 30 years ago. Yeah?
It is what it is. It's still valid.
Okay. All right.
That's scary, isn't it?
Hence the reason you need to revisit these things on a regular basis.
Absolutely.
Especially now, because our lives change quite radically, don't they?
Mm.
Yeah. Okay, listen, we're at the end of another show. Thank you so much to everybody that tweeted, that emailed in, and participated. But especially a big thank you to our two fantastic guests, Gemma Harris of Gemma Harris Consulting and Wellbeing. Thank you so much, Gemma. Maria Parker, Principal of Burton Solicitors, thank you so much for participating in the show
and answering
my daft questions.
Thank you, Paul and Linda.
And to my fabulous co-host who stepped in at the last moment for these 2 weeks while Jules swanned away, the absolutely beautiful and wonderful Linda Cloak. Thank you, Linda.
Thank you very much, Paul. I enjoyed it. Thank you, girls. It was a great show.
You've been fantastic supporting us for these last 2 weeks, and I do appreciate it very much. Thank you so much. We'll be back next week with another Business Bunker show. In the meantime, stay safe, everybody. Don't spend all your tax gains in one go. stay safe, and we'll see you all soon. Take care. Bye for now.
Bye.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
This is Channel 2.